very warm welcome. Now you can please be seated. I want to thank you, Pastor, for introducing me, your wife, and the family here at the church. If you open, please, into the book of Isaiah in chapter number 46. And I ask you, as your pastor has said, to listen unto me very, very carefully. It's my words and my English are hard to understand. Are you getting it? And so when your pastor began to speed up and speak more pidgin, speak more broken, I can still understand. Because I have been here a while. This is my third year in Nigeria. Wow. And I'm with some brothers and some sisters from the Reformed Baptist Church here in Port Harcourt. It's in Rumadawa. But Isaiah, in chapter 46, I want to read two verses. The title of the message is I Will Carry You. And I'll read Isaiah chapter 46 and verse number 3 through 4. I have about 30 minutes or so. I will try to hurry as much as possible, but to speak clearly and make sure that you get the message. As the Lord said, listen to me, O house of Jacob. Isaiah chapter 46:3. And all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been upheld by me from the belly, from birth, who have been carried from the womb. That's how weak and helpless we are, and we don't even know it. Even to your old age, that I am He. Your pastor might be older than me, but his hair is all dark, so he's looking young. Even unto your old age, God says, I am He. And even unto gray hairs, if they ever get this, if they're not covered up, I will carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry, and will deliver you. Amen. This is a good word. That's from God Almighty Himself. I will carry. And we need a good word, because the weight and the burden of salvation is too heavy for us to carry. I am incapable, I am unable of making it myself unto the finish line. Sin is too strong a force. It is too powerful. The law of God and the requirements of God, the holiness of God, is too heavy a burden to bear ourselves. Is that not right? It's too heavy. But God says, I will carry you. It's a word of hope and salvation. And whenever I'm preaching, I try to make sure that the Word of God is for me before I try to preach it unto anybody else. I don't care. I've got five things that I want to talk to you about this morning. Sin, a Savior, faith, good works, and the Holy Spirit. Point number one, the first thing is that we are sinners. That's why I need a Savior. That's why I need somebody to carry me and you, because we cannot make it ourselves. We cannot do this ourselves because we are sinners by nature, even from the womb our corruption has already started. It is a baby dedication unto day. If you see me long enough, as you'll know, I love little children and older children. I hope people, I hope I can grow in loving people, even all you adults too. But we are sinners from the birth. We are sinners by practice, and the thing about this sin nature is that the anger and the justice and the holiness of God is against our sin, and it must be punished because God Almighty is too holy to look upon anything evil, and any sin that's in His presence has got to be punished and put out of existence. It's the Almighty God says in the book of Matthew, "And depart ye cursed into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." That means that God is sending mankind, men and women, into the same hell as the devil himself, the same hell as Satan. That means I need a Savior. If I'm going to hell where the devil is going to be punished forever and ever, you've got to escape that horrible place. It's everlasting. It's a horrible place. Point number two is we have a Savior. As you see, you've got to live a holy life to escape that place. But point two is we have a Savior that's been qualified, that's been appointed by God, that's been sent by God Almighty Himself. You hearing me? Our Lord Jesus Christ, He came from heaven. He is the equal with God His Father. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He is the creator of this world. Before He had a body that was formed in the womb of the Virgin, He had a spirit that's from everlasting to everlasting, that's equal with God. He is the Almighty God Himself in the flesh, in a body. And He came here on a mission, your pastor said. He came to die. He came to serve God Almighty on our behalf, because we could not do it. Our sins have taken us away. Our sins have brought a curse upon us. Cursed is every man that does not continue in the law of God to do it continually. And Jesus Christ came to bear that curse. He's the substitute for sinners. He's the Redeemer. He's the sinner's Savior. He's the one appointed by God, qualified, and here's the word, successful. Our Lord Jesus Christ, He did not fail. He did not stumble. He did not falter. He did not sin. Even while He bore God's wrath, He humbled Himself upon the cross and gave God glory as He died in reverent submission. He obeyed until His last breath. He never sinned, even while God punished Him for my sin. What a sin. And then God raised Him from the dead as proof His work was accepted. If there was even a single sin left to pay, He wouldn't have come out of that grave. But all the sins of God's people. The sins of those who will be in paradise was paid in full on Calvary. His blood answered, it satisfied the justice of the justice of God. Now God can be holy and touch us with mercy. Touch us with love. Mercy and truth have met together in Jesus Christ. Because He punished our sin. You hearing me? That is the riddle. That is the quandary. That's the problem. How can God be merciful and how can He punish sin at the same time? In Jesus Christ. Mercy and truth has met together. Righteousness and peace have You are point three, you are righteous by faith in Jesus Christ. You and I are not righteous by anything that we've said, we've done, we've felt, we've given. I could lay my life down 100 million times and it would never earn me righteousness in the sight of God. No, sir. You hearing me? I'm not righteous because I'm a missionary. You're not righteous because of you at all. You're righteous by faith in His word. His acceptance, His worthiness, that's what accepts you. Can you mind if I step down the pastor? I'm the only man here beside you. I'm underdressed. It's cold in here too. I'm used to being hot. Faith, listen to me please, is relying on Him. Not myself. It's trusting Him to get me through. It's trusting His blood. It's trusting His power. It's trusting His promises. It is leaning on God. This is not even strong enough. It moves. I couldn't lean on that. This is faith. Leaning on God. Leaning on God. I got absolutely nothing in myself. That's why he said, I'll carry you. I'll go all the way. What gospel? It's trusting in Him that I'm accepted by God only because I trust in Him. Can you believe that? It's hard to believe. In the book of Numbers, in chapter number 16, in verse number 48, let me put the question again. Are you able to trust God? That just by trusting Christ, you are righteous. Is the Numbers chapter 50 or chapter 16, verse number 48? Is an illustration here of the day that atonement was made on behalf of sinners. It was wrath that had gone out from the Lord, verse number 46. The plague has begun. Then Aaron took the censer. It had some fire, it had incense, it's the intercession of Christ. And he ran into the midst of the assembly. Already the plague had begun among the people. So he put in the incense and made atonement for the people. That's what Jesus did at the cross. His prayers were heard by God. And verse 48, he stood. Our great high priest, our Lord Jesus, he stood in between the dead and the living. You hear it? The only reason the people on this side are alive is because he stood in between us and death. He stood. So on this side, everybody's dying for their sin from the wrath of God. On this side, there's peace and life. And Jesus is in the middle. He stopped it, God's wrath, because he took it himself. And God is satisfied. And these people get life. How do I know if I'm one of these people and not one of these? Faith! Faith is the connection between you and God. Faith! The work is done not by you, but by Him. And faith says it's mine. It's mine. I'm relying upon it. It's all I got. So the plague was stopped. If you're relying upon our Lord Jesus Christ, there's no wrath from God toward you. And everything that he does, even if he kills your family, Joe, because he loves you. Oh, I don't make you any promise of what's going to happen to you in the morning. I might not be here. All we got to say, if the Lord will, I'll go here. But no matter what happens in the morning, God's on my side through Jesus Christ. It's all right. Hallelujah. Praise God if he is or if he kills me. It's all right. I can meet him in judgment. I can meet him in answer of a clean conscience right now. I got peace. Righteousness is going to bring you peace. With God. Is my English okay, Mark?
Yes.
He's answered. And faith says, it's for me. And I got it. I'm righteous. Me? Me? I'm righteous with God? Are you kidding me? That's the gospel.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Not because of anything you've seen, said, done, felt, have been, have not been, changed, haven't changed.
He's good in and out. And my faith is in him. Not myself at all.
Point number four
is good works. I gotta live a holy life.
I can't be saved
and forgiven of my sins and not live a holy life. That's impossible.
It's in Galatians in chapter number 2, please. It's impossible to trust Christ and not be holy. The salvation that God gives makes us holy. As a consequence, I'm not saved because of my works. I'm saved unto good works. You hearing the difference? I think it's a, I don't know if it's a preposition or not. But Galatians in chapter number 2 and verse number 20, this, listen to me, is the Christian experience of every child of God that's in this building. I have been crucified with Christ. How about you? When he died, I died. Hallelujah. You got that part? Well, here's the next thing. Then it's no longer I who live. This old man is not in charge anymore. Who I am that caused our Lord Jesus Christ to have to make atonement with his life, blood, is no longer the boss of me. Hallelujah. But Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What he's saying is that the death and the love and the resurrection and the power and the mercy and the goodness of Jesus Christ is stamped on my forehead.
It's in my mind all the time. It causes me to think of victory.
It's me personally. I was thinking about this morning that you have to accept people for who they are, or you can never love them. Because you can't say I love you after you change. You have to love them as they are a couple of change. What makes me and you love people? When we're sinners by nature and we love ourselves and despise everyone else, or try to get something out of them. It's our nature. It's a brand new mind inside of you. A brand new person that's on the inside of you, even Christ. And he, in point number four, sets by the power of the Holy Spirit the gospel in our mind. The gospel. He makes us love and do good works. Because the Lord Jesus says that me and you are to love each other as he has loved us.
And then the Lord Jesus, he said this, I will not leave you comfortless, but what? I will come to you. When he came down here and died, and then he went back up into heaven, I'm going to have to fight for your attention. Eyes over here, ears open. Don't move your eyes off the gospel just because a human being takes steps in a building. Listen to the preaching of the gospel. And get all of it. And y'all be still when the preacher's preaching. And hear the gospel. I say that with humility. But hear the gospel. He said, I'm going to come back unto you, but he comes back in the person and power of the Holy Spirit. And that's like point number five. Hit this point, and I'll conclude it out there. I need the Holy Ghost. If I need him. It's my duty, our duty, to love our fellow man. To be kind, to be gracious, to spread the gospel, to live no longer for ourselves, but for him who saved us, to give up our life unto him. That's not just the pastor, that's the Christian. And how am I and you going to do this? It's a burden that's borne by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our power. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, makes us look unto Jesus Christ, and shows us he's enough. And the Holy Spirit convinces us that the devil is not my master. It's the work of the Spirit. As weak as me and you are without the Holy Spirit, we're mighty. Through God. He'll enable you. He'll forgive you and cleanse you by bringing Christ into your conscience. He'll carry you all the way through. He'll make you and me live unto the glory of God. He'll refresh our spirits. He'll give us the joy. He'll give us power over sin. He'll pick us up after we've fallen over and over. Amen. And he'll restore us. Amen. He won't quit saving us from sin. He won't give up on us. He won't stop showing us Christ. He won't stop helping us. He said, I'll carry you. Over unto the finish. Let me say this in conclusion and I'll be done. Be humble. Be humble. We do nothing ourselves. If we have any strength, he gave it to us. Not because of us, but because of himself. If he hears your prayer, he put the prayer in us. He decided already as to what he was going to give you, and then he put it in your mouth, just like he did with David, exactly what to pray for, and then he answered because of the blood he shed at the cross. If he makes us faithful, if he makes us lay our lives down, if he makes us have some zeal, I plan to go up into Jehovah's Father again. It's an opportunity there to preach the gospel for three whole months. The courage is his. I know myself, and then I know myself in His hand. They're two different people. It's not us that makes us to be different. If you got any knowledge, He gave it to you. Any power over sin, He gave it to you. Any forgiveness in your heart, He gave it to you. Any improvement in character, He gave it to you. You got anything at all, it's from God. I will carry you, not you yourself. And then, if you hear about Christ, if you're saying this, it's convicting. Look to Jesus. He'll carry you through. He'll put strength in you by pardoning you, by forgiving you. He'll make you and me to love Him by showing us kindness and mercy and compassion. The way to get on this race is to be forgiven as you are. When we talk about having to love people as they are, that's our Lord Jesus Christ. Looking at the sinner, He said, I will, and you be loved. Looking at us in our helpless need, say, I'll go upon the cross. Hearing the prayer of the prodigal and saying, let's have a party. There's going to be some music that's going to dance tonight. But my sins, I forgive them. That's what sins do. My brothers and sisters, it's only in these four words, I will carry you. Who says those words? That's what gets the glory. Let's go to the